My name's Rose Walterman, and I've been a member of Lighthouse Community since the mid-1990s. And my first experience with Lighthouse was with the Life and the Spirit Seminar. I remember the first day of the seminar, my immediate impression was, wow, this place is really enthusiastic about God. I was so impressed at how everyone sang loudly and enthusiastically. Looking back now, I can see how it helped me to understand the importance of praise and worship, and it helped me to open up to the Holy Spirit. After I completed the seminar, my husband told me that my personality changed. He said I was a lot nicer. And I thought to myself, gee, what was I like before? Now, community members have heard me say that about my husband many times. But it's important to say it, because after the seminar, everything changed. The biggest change in my life was realizing that Christ is a person, and he has a very personal love for me. In fact, I came to realize he's actually in love with me. When I look back on what my life was like before I came to his personal love, I'm so glad I had the good sense to say yes when he knocked on the door of my heart. So I want to give you a brief look at my life before I knew Jesus personally and how I've changed and grown spiritually. I was raised Catholic, but as a teenager and young adult, I didn't practice my faith. And I prided myself for making people laugh at pretty vulgar and off-color jokes. And all I really cared about was having a good time, and everything I did revolved around me, myself, and I. I never had any thought about God. But in the midst of living that way, I remember always feeling like I had this big void inside of me, and I often felt lonely. I didn't know what that void was at the time, so I just kept trying to fill it with worldly and selfish things. Sometimes that loneliness and void would nag at me so much that I would go into a church at odd times of the day and just sit there and look at the crucifix. I didn't really know how to pray, but I felt a sense of stability there. So that all happened while I was still single. But then even after I first got married, I was very lax about practicing my faith. I would miss Mass on Sunday, and when I did go, it was only because my mother-in-law needed a ride. It wasn't until my kids started attending Catholic grade school that I was drawn back to my Catholic faith. One day after Mass, I remember looking at the crucifix and saying to Jesus with my heart, "I want to be close to you, but I don't know how." Not too long after that desperate prayer, a friend invited me to the Life in the Spirit seminar, and that was the beginning of my new life in Christ. And I'm not saying new life in Christ just as a cliche. It was definitely a new life and very life-changing. I realize now the value in setting aside a block of time every day to pray and to just be with Jesus. When I do that, my relationship with him deepens, and it gives me a peace that I've never experienced before. Being thankful to a prayer time is very crucial every day, because we're never going to develop a close relationship with God in our spare time. Our prayer and just spending time with him is an expression of love. And what does love do? Love unites. The two shall become one. I have learned that God's love for us is so magnificent that we can't even begin to comprehend it. Even before we were conceived, we were in the heart and mind of God. Not when we were conceived, but before we were conceived. Another way I learned to understand God's magnificent love is by reading and meditating on sacred scripture. It helped me change the way I live. Through Lighthouse, I learned that we are all a temple of the Holy Spirit, and his living presence is actually living inside of us, and his gifts work in us and through us. Before I went through the seminar and became part of Lighthouse, I would have been saying, "The Holy Spirit, who is that?" Now I know that he's alive in us and that we can depend on him. He's our counselor and our companion. Through this seminar, you will learn a lot about the spiritual gifts, and you'll experience some of them in our praise and worship meetings. And Sister Chris talked about this. The gift of tongues is one that seems peculiar to some people. And I used to think that too. But now I know it's a gift whereby the Holy Spirit prays through us. And it can seem like strange sounds that have no meaning. But St. Paul does talk about this gift in Romans 8. He says, "The Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groanings." So Sister Chris talked about this too, but just to give you an example of my experience, when I'm praising God at our praise and worship meetings, I can praise him by saying, "Jesus, I love you, I praise you, I adore you, thank you for the gift of life. You are my friend, you are my joy and my strength." And that's a beautiful way to love and praise God. But for me, I can only do that for so long and then I run out of words. So that's when I let the Holy Spirit pray through me and I praise him in the gift of tongues. Praying in tongues is a love language between you and God. It's another beautiful way to pray when we don't know how to pray for ourselves and others. So you'll learn more about this gift later in the seminar. There's other gifts that the Holy Spirit is waiting to bring alive in you. Wisdom, understanding, word of knowledge, and prophecy, and no one gift is better than the other. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it says the gifts of the Holy Spirit are permanent dispositions or temperaments. And these temperaments make us docile to following the Holy Spirit's promptings. To be docile means to be open to being taught. I'm open to being moved and following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You can say it's like a little nudge. The Holy Spirit's nudging you to take action on something. So I'll give you an example of something that happened to me. This was quite a while ago regarding the word of knowledge. I was at a praise and worship meeting just like we are here tonight, and everybody was quiet and, you know, listening for God to speak through us. I kept hearing in my head over and over just three words, "I forgive you." And I kept hearing that, "I forgive you, I forgive you." And I had a sense that it wasn't just for me that I needed to share that. So I got up to the microphone, I just said, "I forgive you," and I sat down. And after the meeting, a man came up to me and thanked me for saying that, because he said on his way to the meeting that night, he was asking God to forgive him because he had felt he had really hurt someone. So we have to step out in faith when we feel that nudge from the Holy Spirit. So after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, did all my problems go away? Well, not exactly. But some actually did, because I realize now that in my wrong thinking and my bad choices, I was the one causing the problem. And we all do have problems. We all have some difficulty or trial we're dealing with. And there's suffering, concern, and worry. But I've come to realize that I learn my best lessons during the hardest times in my life, and I grow the most spiritually during the hardest times in my life. Years ago, I heard a Protestant minister on the radio say something that really stuck with me. He said, "Suffering is the gymnasium for learning how to love." Suffering is the gymnasium for learning how to love. How true that statement is. Because suffering transforms our hearts toward a deeper compassion, patience, and selfless love. And the more intimately we know Jesus and his deep love for us, the more we will be confident in knowing that Jesus is with us in our suffering, and he's ministering to us providentially through that trial. There is no suffering that Jesus does not fully understand. And did you know that we can unite our suffering to Jesus' suffering on the cross to console him and save souls? He revealed this to Saint Faustina. He told her, "I have need of your sufferings to rescue souls. You are not suffering for yourself, but for souls." when I'm going through something really hard, or even maybe just for some annoyance, I try to remember to pray, Jesus, this is for you and for souls. Use this trial to help someone else. It's a very powerful way to pray and not let your suffering go to waste, because we can actually help Jesus save souls. On the other side of the coin, there are those people who think Christianity is all about them. Their mindset is, I'm following the rules, I go to church every Sunday, I'm nice to people in the grocery store and parking lot, so hopefully I'll make it to heaven. Well, that all sounds very boring to me and hopeless, to be honest. Our lives are worth so much more than just limping around, trying to be good, and following so-called rules. I've learned throughout my spiritual journey that God created you and me because He has something important for us to do. And you and I are the only person who can do what He needs us to do. We all have a God-given uniqueness. When we were baptized and confirmed, we all received the Holy Spirit. But now we're focusing on the Holy Spirit becoming active and alive in you. The Holy Spirit wants to bring out in you your uniqueness. When you're prayed with later in this seminar for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, be open and just be a sponge. Let the Holy Spirit move through you and receive His healing love. Jesus is inviting you through this seminar to have a fuller life in Him. And He's also a perfect gentleman. He's inviting you. He will not go against your free will. The God who created the whole universe loves you because He created you. He doesn't just tolerate you, He loves you. And the Holy Spirit is anxious to dwell in your heart because your heart is the temple that He Himself created. In 1 Corinthians 2, sacred scripture sums it up very perfectly. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has ready for those who love Him. Thank you.